Welcome to the Reroll Gaming Podcast, where I, Tanner Prentice, guide five of my closest friends through an original adventure playing the tabletop role-playing game Pathfinder 2nd Edition. In the world of Rell, five strangers brought together a resistance under the shadow of the Black Reach Empire. Until everything changed. A villain and former lover named Hogoth fractured the planes of existence, ushering in an endless night and an era of undeath. All in the name of an undying dragon, Zarox. Now, the fate of Rell is left to these five adventurers.
My name is Ayla, and I play Bo Cantrell, a fallen Asimar and cleric, with Cosmios, the god of fate, as my deity.
Hi, my name is Zane, and I play Cinder Lafayette, the halfling investigator with a dicey past.
My name is Octavia, and I play Starlit Moonbow. Star, as she's better known by her companions, is on a mission to save her true love, Faya, from the Maiden of Spiders.
Hi, my name is Latara, and I play Kiaren Nimone the Sadistic, the Dolel champion of Emin, who yearns for that redemption that is so far out of her reach.
I'm Brendan Geyer.
And I am Frost, your new favorite kobold barbarian. Honor-bound to protect and serve Groth's party. And oath-bound to finish his mission.
These five heroes are the last best hope to save Rell. But can they overcome this darkness that spreads under the shattered sky? Find out now on the Reroll Gaming Podcast. Welcome back to the Reroll Gaming Podcast, your number one source for rerolls, gaming, and podcasts. Not legally.
Number one source for every podcast?
Your number one's... No.
I hope it's your only source for rerolls, actually. Because that's...
If somebody else is using our name, we'll find them, and we'll kill them.
That's the reroll promise. Let's say that we'll be doing no such thing.
Allegedly.
We will sue you out of every penny that you are worth.
Yeah.
And you can,
our
you
team of lawyers will descend upon you like locusts upon a field.
Do you know who my dad is?
Can you tell him really? I miss him?
Yeah, because I don't
know.
And I
hope he cut those cigarettes.
I haven't seen him in a while.
And just to be clear, we have not followed through with this threat previously. So
Yet. Don't
go looking anywhere.
Like or else. The Denny's. As I've spoken.
Nobody's listening to this podcast anyway, so there's nobody to be offended.
Latara's listening to this podcast.
No. Latara, I'll sue you.
Latara's our number
if you
one
step
fan.
Out of line.
Yeah, we'll
as while you're listening
you
to this later.
Latara. All right. So we got a pretty cool episode. So let's go ahead and jump right in. We are going to open it up with a little bit of a glimpse into the past of one Kiaren Nimone.
Your 30th name day is upon us, and you know what this means.
Sassandra's words fill the chamber as Cinder and Feral stand silently behind her.
Your Ra-Uldol is to begin. Your rival has been designated. Her name is Shae Thon-Tyr. I'm sure you know of the house. One of the few with higher standing than ours. This is a great opportunity. Don't forget that not only is this your coming of age, but it is a chance to bring our house greater standing, and in so doing, you will also bring those of Thon-Tyr down a peg. Do not fail me.
Sassandrith finished, the threat of failure looming. Yes, Matriarch, I am fully prepared. Kiaren responds as she stands in front of her with her head bowed. Sassandra studies her for a moment longer, before leaving. Feral, the oldest of Kiaren's sisters, slowly eyes Kiaren head to foot and says,
I wonder if I will have one less sister soon.
And then she too leaves, following at the Matriarch's heels. Cinder continues to stand, staring at her, until the other two have left the room. As soon as they are alone, she rushes forward to Kiaren, gripping her shoulders, and then gifts Kiaren with a rare smile. Of course, sister. I will strike tonight. They will not expect it so soon. Kiarn replies with confidence. This is what she had trained for. She has planned for every possible rival. She will conquer because she is of House Nimone. Kiarn immediately heads to her rooms and spends time looking over what she has on Shay, and then departs to the place she has deemed to be the most likely place to find her. After watching a building for a couple hours, Kiarn sees Shay depart with two male guards, just as she had predicted. Kiarn quickly repositions to a place that would allow her to intercept Shay out of sight from prying eyes. Moving with quick efficiency, Kiarn quickly knocks out the two guards as they come around the corner following Shay. Kiarn's plan is perfectly executed. Only the shadows are there to see her as she faces off with Shay. Her guisarm moves quickly and fiercely as she cuts and slices. If anyone had been watching, they would be able to see that Kiarn greatly outmatches Shay. But yet, her weapon never lands that fatal blow. Finally, Kiarn's guisarm hooks Shay's foot out from under her and she falls to the ground, her many cuts leaving her too weak to get up. Kiarn moves up and stands over her silently, weapon poised, staring. Moments pass with only Shay's heavy breathing to be heard, and then Kiarn turns and walks away, leaving Shay injured and stunned, but still clinging to life. Days pass as Kiarn doubles her training and works on her defenses. She meets with contacts, males on the street, that she pays to monitor Shay for her. No one ever pays attention to the houseless males. She sets traps around her home with poisons. She only eats food made with her own hands and prepares healing salves and herbal concoctions to help her awareness. After 2 days of this, she plans a new point of attack, which she again executes flawlessly and again brings Shay to the edge of life. This time, as Kiarn is walking away, Shay is prepared and uses her reserves that she has saved in hope for this moment. She throws a dagger at Kiarn's back with all her remaining strength. The blade flies through the air, end over end, but Kiarn deftly pulls her guisarm up to block it, and without even looking back, continues to walk away for a second time. Word of these two near kills begins to spread, and eventually comes to the ears of Sassandrith.
They are starting to call her Kiarn the Sadistic.
Sassandrith lets the title hang in the air for a moment, before continuing.
They say she is toying with her prey. A fitting title, should she complete the rite. Tell me, Syndra, what do you make of this?
A look of concern flashes across Syndra's face as she responds.
I would not have thought her capable of such a title, though it could cause the other houses to hesitate before plotting against us.
I want you to watch her, Syndra. Failure is unacceptable.
Syndra watches from the shadows as Kiarn trains, 3 times harder than normal, and always remains on high alert. She watches as Kiarn attacks Shay a 3rd time, and sees Kiarn bring Shay to the brink of death yet again. She hears Shay yell out in despair,
"Come on, you bitch, just finish it!"
as Kiarn yet again begins to walk away. To an outsider, it might look like Kiarn was toying with her prey, making Shay realize she has no hope and torturing her slowly with all her cuts. But Syndra had practically raised Kiarn. She could see the struggle in her eyes, the fear of making the kill, the weakness she had thought she had choked out of Kiarn. Syndra continues to watch Kiarn as she goes back to training. This time, Kiarn only stops when she can no longer stay standing, and even then, Kiarn does not sleep. She spends time looking at maps of the city and keeping tabs on Shay. This time, Kiarn lets Shay come to her. She purposefully walks into a trap that Shay had set for her, but still, Kiarn comes out ahead with Shay bleeding on the ground in front of her. Long moments stretch on with Kiarn standing over Shay. Then suddenly, Kiarn stabs her guisarm into the ground at Shay's feet and sinks down to her knees. She looks at her hands shaking in front of her. Her breathing starts to come quicker as she realizes she can't do it. Tears begin to form in Kiaran's eyes. And then Shay lets out a weak laugh as realization begins to dawn on her and whispers,
"Pathetic."
Before laughing again, Kiaran doesn't even look up as the laughter rings in her ears. But then suddenly, the laughter cuts short and is replaced with the sound of someone choking on their own blood. Kiaran raises her head to see her sister, Syndra, holding Kiaran's weapon, plunged deep into Shay's chest, and stares into Kiaran's eyes. Syndra, with a look of disappointment, shakes her head and echoes Shay's last word.
"Pathetic."
The word echoes through Kiaran's head before Syndra says,
"Quickly, to your feet, before anyone sees."
And begins to briskly lead the way home.
And the day dawns, but not really, on your first morning in Subterranea. And Kiaran, I imagine you're thinking back on this memory, dwelling on it. Take a reroll. Good work.
Thanks.
Kiaran Nemone.
Hell yeah.
The sadistic. You're a real piece of shit, you know that? But now, we must continue our journey into the land of Subterranea. We last left off with you guys defeating a demon that possessed a Kvarich dwarf, managing to intimidate the other dwarves into leaving. You dispatched of this demon quite easily, thanks to the help of Bo and then the final strike from Frast. And you made camp on the edge of this bioluminescent field filled with Glowshroom. Things were rather tense as Kiaran and Cinder had a bit of a back and forth. But this morning, it is time to continue. What would you guys like to do as you travel through this field of flora, thick and glowing with blues and purples?
Well, I'm definitely bringing my watch stool with me.
Okay.
Boulders and logs and all. I'm just dragging it through the field.
I'm certain you're strong enough to carry it.
That'd probably give up after like 10 feet.
I don't want to do this.
Once everyone's awake.
More fun in my head.
Sorry. Once everyone's awake, Kiaran will let them know. I was able to find my bearings during watch. That ledge over there is the path down. We're on the grand lift.
Just more on back on there. You're on the surface plateau. The grand lift.
Or the grand
is
lift.
What
sorry,
leads to
I read on the map there, and I was like, "Oh, wait, wrong thing." We're on the surface plateau, overlooking much of the underneathy. Overlooking much of Subterranea.
Underneathy.
Subneathy. Well, Miss Moonbow, what is our plan exactly? We're looking for your lost lover. That's fine. I can wait.
Take your time. Watch
Kiaran will also
cheese
point, kind of point on her semi-map that she had drawn for the others where they are.
Well, I can't say I know exactly where she is, but I do know that I believe Kiaran may know something of her. The Maiden of Spiders may be near her or with her. I suppose it'd be best to find the fastest way, of course, but we'd want to take a smart route. I don't know this land like you do, Kiaran.
I suppose, and this is just kind of where, like, the investigator class gets a little more interesting, but, like, maybe, like, over breakfast or whatever, Cinder would like to sit down with Star and, like, kind of, you know, have her tell Cinder everything that she
knows all the information and try to sit down with her and just like sort of make sense and try to develop like an actual game plan and like figure out what our next step would be in like chasing this lead.
Okay.
So I don't know how, if you have any thoughts on how that would play out, if we want to make it like a whole thing or what.
Well, I think like,
I think that's up to you guys because you have all the information and now's the time to make a plan.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, probably Cinder would just ask you, Star, like, all right, well, what is our next step then?
Well, I can... Let me start by giving you... Oh, shit, hang on. My bad.
That bacon may have been a little old, I apologize.
Oh, God. It's burning. All right, let's see. Well, I suppose a good place to start would be... knowing what she looked like for you. I have some notes and theories that I've scribbled down, but I'll just get everything out of my bag.
This is the point where you realize Flint still has the nude picture of Faya.
Where is it?
She already realized that.
Yeah, I don't
that
know
that
Flint.
But she doesn't know
where
it is.
Yeah, I was like, I don't really know if Flint had it. Just it was missing.
Yeah. Well, so she like is pulling out these pictures and she like sees a couple that are like the naked. She's like, brushing those aside, just don't look at that. Don't look at that.
That's somebody else.
Yeah, that's those are me.
I love your goat legs.
Thank you.
And I think obviously probably would like loop the rest of the group into this. Like we're all just kind of discussing this over breakfast or whatever, and then it kind of evolves into like Star and Cinder like kind of comparing notes and trying to establish a game plan. You said the. Most concrete lead that you have was this Maiden of Spiders, which, Kiaran, it sounded like you knew in great detail what exactly she's capable of.
It's a bit beyond knowing what she's capable of. She is a god in her own right. One worshipped by my people, my kin.
So seeking out this individual sounds to prove to be a very dangerous task. What do you suggest is the best approach for something like this?
First, we need to get there and scope out what is going on.
And this is Nykatov, right, that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did make sure to bring some potions that Bo has been thankfully able to make, giving us disguise.
Give me a crafting check for the night before. I forgot about that. Because you are working on some healing potions, I believe.
I am?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that.
You had a plan to work on these potions.
I think we still need to make
cauldron.
We still needed to make four more of the potions. And then...
Of the potions of disguise?
Enough for 20 healing, yeah.
Okay. So roll to continue making the potions of disguise. I think that's what it's called, right?
Yeah. Greater disguise potions.
What am I rolling?
You're rolling a crafting check.
Oh, I'm gonna reroll that.
Okay.
I say this as I glance over to Bo over her walking cauldron, over his walking cauldron.
You're making those potions, right?
28.
What was it? 28?
28.
Okay. Let me check. I don't remember the DC. Oh, it's probably in my notes.
Tanner, can you put a token on roll 20 to like indicate where we are?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that'd be fun to kind of like track ourselves throughout this.
And I do think
desolate landscape.
As Kieran was saying, we need to make our way first there first on her. I don't know how great this map is, but her semi map she's drawn. She's kind of showing her finger, going in the route that she thinks is best.
I thought you were talking to me. I was like, I thought I did pretty good on this map.
No, the map
dick.
That she drew beforehand.
That's funny. You said 27, Bo?
28.
Okay, that is a success. So I think we already subtracted the cost. But you now have four more potions of disguise greater.
And I guess maybe we could like kind of roll this discussion over into like this first leg of travel too, but I don't know. Cinder just has like some more clarifying questions to explore.
Okay. So this next leg of the journey is going to take you through these dense glow shroom fields. So what? In fact, this is going to be kind of a challenge to navigate through. So what skill do you use to help your party get through this get through this safely?
I would.
These glow shrooms will molest you at any given opportunity, so you really got to watch yourself.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tanner, but these glow shrooms are glowing as much white as blue, right? In terms of color. Like, it's toward the white. So, Frost wouldn't be very visually obvious in these if he were crawling, for example.
If you were crawling, yes, but if you're crawling, I'm going to make you move at a quarter speed instead of half speed.
I was going to say,
but he's a lizard.
Could Frost begin crawling when everybody else starts packing up camp and scout ahead in that fashion until they catch up to him?
I would say that's probably not going to work out entirely well, because crawling in these glow shrooms will not allow you to see very much due to its density.
But anything in it would not be able to see that well either.
What about like crouching, keeping my head just above them so it's not like you can't see me, but...
I would say if you would like, you can try to stealth through as you're traveling, and I will give you a +4 circumstance bonus for your nature of how you look and being able to. I think the thing you run into with crawling is, you know, you are coming into a place where... Well, first of all, I don't know if Kiaran would allow you to crawl forward an hour.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'll probably do that then. I'll sneak I'll maybe go 5 minutes ahead, everybody. So I'm going to be moving fast and low, but as quiet as I can, I guess.
Okay. What is everybody else doing?
I would kind of like to, maybe do something similar, but just on like a different kind of, like, so we have sort of like a two-pronged plan of attack there or whatever.
Okay. Try to move stealthily through this as well. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Side by side. So we're like doing a clean sweep in front of the party.
Yeah. Okay. Kiaran, what are you doing?
Not liking that people are moving ahead, but...
I mean, you can probably see it. Tanner said fields, so I imagine you can see us when we're 5 minutes ahead of you. Or a couple of minutes ahead of you.
She'll kind of point Bo in the direction we're wanting to go, hoping Bo can guide us, keep us on track like before, but she's going to mostly be focusing on keeping an eye out for known dangers.
Okay. So I'm going to have stealth checks from Frost and Star, perception from you, Kiara, and Bo, what would you like to do?
Just real quick before we actually head out, Kiaran will pull out the journal that she had found. She had been planning on telling them about it sooner, but the night before was a bit crazy.
Withholding information, huh, Kiaran, from the party? That's awfully suspect.
I wonder how this information
affects us. Shut up,
Cinder,
I'm not talking to you. she'll turn to Bo and Star and just say, I was going through the bag of holding, which I believe Groth carried before, and found something you might find of interest. And hand it over to whoever's closer.
Okay.
There's notes in there, observations that include some of Groth.
Who's taking it?
1 second, I'm trying to deal with the...
Cinder is. She's like, who's Groth? This means nothing to me.
Star,
you don't know him.
It.
Stay out.
Oh, shut up, Cinder.
No. Words like butter, asshole.
I don't like those butter two ass. Words in the same sentence. I don't appreciate that.
With words like buttered asshole.
Nope. All right. Never mind. I'm not taking anything from you guys. You're fucking weird.
Every time you talk, it's like a creamy
Kiaran's
fart.
Yelling, but just picturing the butter on Cinder's lips.
God.
Which unfortunately is Which also lips? Your asshole.
I'm gonna throw up. I'm eating spicy chips and like Cheez-Its, and I'm gonna vomit all over my fucking computer. Tube.
That's not my problem.
There also actually is, like, a patch of taste buds in your rectum.
You said this a couple episodes.
I know. I know. I don't like to let people forget that.
Nasty.
It's like being punished by God. Just constantly reminded that you can, like, taste your own
poop. Okay, Star, you're taking the journal?
I guess. Fucking A. Okay,
good.
Just get us, move us on from this discussion, please.
Star will take the journal and, you know, flip it over and look, and she's like, oh, yeah, I completely forgot we had this. Well, thank you for sharing it. Perhaps I'll have a chance to take a look through it in the next evening.
And then we'll set out.
Okay. I still need activities from Bo and Cinder as you're trying to traverse this dense foliage.
Probably just taking a seek action, and I can move at normal speed while just doing a regular seek, but, like, just trying to look out for anything that's out of place or any signs of life
okay.
that stand out from the rest of the terrain.
Okay. Give me a perception check, and then, Bo, what are you doing?
One sec. I think that Bo is just trying to help navigate the safest and most efficient path.
Okay. So I will allow you to do either survival or nature for that.
Okay.
Okay. Frast, what'd you get?
Rolling fucking rocks, baby. 29.
Nice. Star, what'd you get?
I got a 31.
Very good. Kiaren, what did you get?
Was I doing survival?
You were doing perception, I believe.
Perception? 29.
29. Cinder?
21.
Okay. And Beau?
25.
You guys manage to pass through these fields, though it takes you a while. The foliage slows you down, and I think at one point, Kiaren, as you're looking back, just scanning for danger, you got a, what did you get, 31?
I got 29.
29.
Star got the 31.
She got 31 on stealth. Yeah, Frost and Star, you guys move effortlessly, not effortlessly. You guys glide silently through these long stalks of assorted fungi. And it's like this bizarre jungle. Bo, you are keeping continuous... excuse me, Jesus. Bo, you are looking around and ensuring that all these different exotic plants won't spell trouble for your group, and in fact at a couple points you redirect everybody around obvious pitfalls. Cinder, I think you might be a little out of your element. I think it is actually your height here. I think a lot of these fungi are as tall as you and just kind of limiting your vision a bit.
I think she also might be distracted too and intermittently like wanting to talk to Star and maybe Kiaren too, just about like Nikitov and stuff.
Yeah, you're probably trying to like think way ahead. And Kiaren, even at a certain point as you pass and you come to where these fields are sort of dwindling and ending, you look behind and see this massive mound of these fungi shift ever so slightly, getting the sense that you avoided something deadly lurking beneath.
Ooh.
And you know all too well how deadly the plant life in Subterranea can be.
Did, this is kind of a random thing, at some point Star got, like, was it the Scribble Scrab Adventure Guide that, like, talks about elements of Subterranean?
Yes.
Am I remembering that right? Okay. I think at some point, too, if it came up, she would have asked to borrow that from Star and is just kind of, like, distracted, like, reading more about Subterranean.
Yeah.
And I think as you go through it, too, you find that some things are helpful, some things are misleading, but often they're painted as wondrous and adventurous. And while this is an adventure guide, it seems that the experience your companion has, Kiaren, likely will triumph over any recommendations this book puts forth.
Right, I think maybe like some of the more outlandish or like noteworthy stuff she'll like kind of passively bring up to Kiaren, and Kiaren's probably just like, that's not really the way that it works down here.
But finally,
although a few that sound outlandish, she might be like, oh, actually kind of spot on a little bit.
And I think that maybe like scares Cinder more than the stuff that was just kind of like ruled out as elaboration.
Do you see this? Dolel have two buttholes, according to him.
It says we.
Do you want to see?
Stop.
can't believe it's not butter.
It says we eat all of our own babies. No, how the fuck would we reproduce then? It's
that
only
make
most
sense
of them
mathematically.
And after the better part of a day, you arrive at the edge of the surface plateau. The path ends at a sheer drop into the darkness below, leading down into the bowels of Subterranea. Kiaren, you know that this cliffside is treacherous, leaving those who scale it vulnerable to all manner of predators, particularly gangs of cloakers that fly around looking for exposed prey. But you know at the...
Brunhilde?
Huh?
Oh, not Brunhilde. Anara is like a goat.
Yeah, Anara's not going to have trouble here. Anara also was eating mushrooms, just walking through the field, clanking. Yeah, she's like, oh, God.
And she's glowing.
Did you guys know I could talk? However, Kiaren, you do know at the base of these cliffs is the Spire Forest, a sprawling, dense woodland mixed with scattered stalagmites. Past that forest, of course, is the Deadlands, where you'll find Wyvern Blood River, which runs across the base of Nykatov, the City of Spiders. Scaling these cliffs will not be easy, but it is the most obvious route.
Is this like a sheer climbing situation or more just like a careful descent?
Sheer kind of climbing situation, which luckily Brunsholt had loaded up Anara with Pitten's rope and whatever other climbing gear you may need.
Cool. Does Frost happen to know anything about the Wyvern Blood River? Just in terms of like how it got that name?
Is it actually
ever,
blood?
Never covered in his history classes.
Give me either a nature check or society. And depending which one you roll, you will get different information.
I will roll a I'll roll a society. That's gonna be a bounced off a nat 20 and it's a 25 instead. 14.
Okay. 25's not bad. You have heard of a river that runs deep beneath the mountain, but you never have known its name. But judging just based on the name Wyvern Blood and the people who have named it, it is, and the fact that it is a freshwater source in a place where water is probably pretty difficult to come by, it might be a hotly contested area.
Can I roll a nature on it?
Yeah, you go ahead.
21.
With a 21, you know that Wyvern Blood is a particularly sought after ingredient in alchemical poisons. It is something that innately can act as a binding agent to other poisons and help amplify their effects. Now with that, most of a day did transpire crossing the glowshroom fields. Would you like to rest again before heading up?
Yeah.
Do you think it's gonna take us, like, could we, how long did, I guess, How long do you think it'll take us to descend this cliff face? Should we rest here?
Would Kiaren think that it's more exposed being up here on top of the cliff and safer at the bottom?
It's not necessarily. I don't think you found yourself on the surface plateau a ton. That being said, I think you do know after a day of walking and traveling, might be better to start fresh if you're going to be involved in such a physical activity.
Then Kiaren will share that. She'll say, I can't say I've actually made this climb myself. I'm sure it might take a bit. The real danger are the cloakers. They can hide themselves well and fly. It might be best to attempt this when we're rested.
Like, Cinder's, like, kind of footing the edge of this cliff and peering down into the darkness and just says, "And what, pray tell, is a cloaker?"
"One of the many creatures down here. Predator."
You can attempt to recall knowledge if you would like, Cinder. It's going to be a nature check.
Yeah. They'll be looking for easy prey on the cliffs.
15.
Never heard of it.
No. There was, seems that this adventure guide failed to mention anything of that nature. She says, maybe kind of detecting a little bit of nervousness under her
Can
voice.
Can I roll something that might, in case I know any sort of, like, weaknesses or things about them in case we do end up fighting them?
Yeah, you can roll a recall knowledge nature.
It's 25.
25. That's pretty good, and I am not stalling until my page loads for sure. 25 is one of my favorite numbers.
It's a good number. Nice, even.
It's a great number.
Even five.
That's my age right now.
I pretty like it. You do know of these creatures. A cloaker resembles a manta ray that likes to fly around in packs and unleash their infrasonic moans that tend to either nauseate or put people into a stupor or their victims fill with fear.
Would I think that you could clog your ears to help with that?
Clog?
Clog like your ears?
Like put something in your ears?
Yeah, plug a little bit of wax ears. Or something.
You could potentially get a bonus, yes.
Not that that's necessarily a good idea either, because it messes with your perceptions, but...
Yeah.
I like to think, too, that as Kiaren is maybe explaining this, there's, like, this kind of ominous, like, distant moaning noise that carries up the cliffside.
Star throws up immediately.
Yeah.
That's how I was.
Cinder immediately jams whatever she can find into her ears.
I will just say, like, infrasonic is, like, the kind of sound wave that you feel in your chest instead of your ears. Also,
yeah, it is auditory, emotional, and mental.
Ooh.
Well, I was so talking about IRL, not even.
Might not be worth the risk for the tiny bit of protection. Yeah, okay. She'll share that with everyone.
Well, okay.
And you guys share another set of rations between you all as you rest on the edge of this cliffside.
I do like the idea of Inara just kind of endlessly, like, eating these mushrooms, too. Like, just grabbing a big mouthful out of one of them.
And in the morning, why don't you all begin this trial of scaling the cliffside by telling me what you do to prepare for this climb?
Well, we got climbing gear. Okay. That we'll definitely use.
Frost is gonna, like, he molted right before he met all you guys. He's just gonna go ahead and, like, double check his tail for, like, extra skin shavings that could mess with his balance or grip.
Okay.
Cinder's gonna do that.
Okay. Check my tail. Eat the spare skin flakes.
Excuse me, I'm gonna eat that skin.
Not that one.
I imagine we tie something between us in case one of us falls.
Okay.
Here, we having a rehash of Delta Green here? Like, how's this going to shake out? Who's in the boat?
Okay, so everybody who is checking their gear, give me a survival check. Or if you want, if you think another check is appropriate, depending on how you're preparing, let me know.
Can I think Cinder, knowing that she's untrained in survival and this is out of her wheelhouse, can I like defer my role onto somebody else's?
What you can do is follow the expert. If there's anybody who is an expert in survival.
She would like to follow the most expert in survival. The biggest expert.
Could I argue that I'm using stealth because I'm trying to lock everything down onto myself essentially to make it not make noise while I am climbing around? Yeah.
Sure, I'll allow that.
Okay, because I don't know if I could do follow the expert for that, but I mean, I'm a master, so, you know.
Is anybody an expert in survival?
No, not me.
I aid as well as do my own, or no? Was there not enough time for that?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay.
I'm trained in survival.
You're not an expert in survival, Bo? I thought you were.
No, trained. Okay. I mean, I'm sure we would take the time to make sure that everyone's gear, like if Cinder's like, I'm not good at this, like we would take the time to check her gear for her.
I mean, sure, but without any of you being an expert, how good are you going to check over the gear is essentially the whole framework behind it.
I guess what I was like, is it or better than her because we're trained?
Better than untrained, I guess.
Yeah. I have a plus 11. I'm just untrained.
Well, then,
I'm trained with a plus 10. You're better at it than me, but I've had official training. I can show you my fucking certification. I'm like, you go fuck yourself. Sit down.
I don't know if that's rules as written, but I do like the idea of kind of carrying over that notion that, like, if you're untrained in something, like, you might be able to do well at it if you have a good bonus to that skill, but, like, maybe somebody with more actual training or mastery, the context would just be different.
Well, I think that is where follow the expert kind of comes in, because, you know, training is you do have a basic understanding of it, but once you're an expert, you can actually lead somebody in the activity and, you know.
Got it.
But go ahead and everybody give me your checks.
22.
25
for Kieran.
22, 25.
20. 20.
Flaccid.
Oh, natural one. Burn
natural.
11.
Natural. Oh. Okay.
37.
Okay. Great.
I think, there's like a phenomenon where like apes will beat their chest at waterfalls because they're intimidated. I think Frost is just over at the cliff, just like flexing his muscles and trying to intimidate the cliff. That's his check.
I imagine the star who's focusing on being quiet kind of shuts you up.
Yeah. That's perfect. That's exactly
how she uses the advantage to draw attention away from herself. She's like, good. This
look
is
that idiot.
Whoever is coming through will attack. Yeah, Frost first.
Okay. Comes and now that camp. You are all strapped and geared, it's time to begin their ascent. This time I want an athletics check from everybody.
Can I take, I don't know if this is a thing in climbing, but can I position myself in a spot where I'd be more of an anchor for people?
Sure. Now,
can I do?
Is anybody an expert in athletics?
I am a
can
master.
I argue?
Master.
Okay.
Never mind.
So, anybody who is untrained or even trained can follow the expert. And essentially, what that's going to do is you're going to get your level plus, you guys are masters.
Mm-hmm.
See?
So, your level plus 4.
Wait, so you still roll?
I have a question.
You still roll, but it'll be a plus 12.
Okay, instead but like you don't get the other. Like I don't get my plus 13 on top of that, right?
Correct.
But you could do the 13 instead of the 12. I'm assuming.
Are you trained in athletics?
I am, but I was maybe gonna argue acrobatics if I could. But
this is going to strictly be athletics.
Okay.
Okay. So what's the bonus I'm rolling with then?
Be a 12 if you're choosing to use the Follow the Expert instead of your own.
Sorry, it's actually plus 3, so it will be 11. Plus 11 or your own.
If you just choose to follow the expert.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what do we get, Cinder?
Oh, it's a natural one.
Natural one,
huh? God. You can use rerolls, maybe. I don't know.
I'd have none.
Okay.
I can't give a reroll, right?
Nope.
Probably not on a nat one.
What'd everybody else get?
30.
Wow.
Flaccid, 20.
Yeah, that's 34.
34, okay. Flaccid, 20, okay.
Very nearly a nat one.
Star, what'd you get?
22.
Okay. Okay. As you guys are descending, Cinder, you place your foot in a place that just wasn't as sturdy as you thought. And you begin to fall. Now, you are anchored to everybody else. So go ahead and give me a reflex save to try and catch a ledge, and we're going to see how much you can mitigate the damage of how you do fall.
Okay. It's a 25.
So you lose your footing, you slip, and as you fall, the rope brings you back around and slams you on the side of this cliff. Take 15 points of bludgeoning damage.
That's a good amount there. Okay. And yeah, who, like, who's anchoring? Is it Kieran?
It is Kieran.
Okay. I think, after that, kind of, like, collecting herself after probably slamming into this cliffside, and she'll just kind of, like, hang there for a minute, collect herself, and look up and just... Sorry about that, Kieran. I appear to have lost my footing.
Good thing we're in this together.
She'll kind of pull herself back up and try to find a place to plant her feet again.
Okay.
And keep descending.
Excellent. Your party continues, and you've been climbing for over an hour. Your gear has mostly held, and you've made steady progress despite a few comebacks. However, the fatigue of such a rigorous activity is setting in. Everybody give me a fortitude save.
I assume we're keeping an eye out for threats too, or do we need a roll for that separate?
You're keeping an eye. I'll let you know if it's...
Okay.
If it's necessary.
You said fortitude?
Fortitude.
I don't know if you can follow on this, but I'm an expert at fortitude.
You can't follow on a save, no.
Okay.
Says who?
The rules.
This cliff wants me to die.
Is anyone within reach of me as we're climbing?
No, I don't imagine they're within 5 feet.
Oh, within 30 feet, sorry. I will cast Guidance on Cinder, since she seems to be struggling.
Sure.
What does that give
plus
me again?
Plus one.
Just plus one.
Okay.
Bo, what'd you get?
29.
29, okay. Cinder.
15.
Okay. Kieran?
29.
Okay. Frost.
Since I'm a master, it's 17, except on the dice, it's a 1.
Dude. Okay.
My last 3 rolls have been 1, 2, and 1 natural
Jesus
on the dice.
Christ. Jesus. Star, what about you?
23.
Okay. Kieran and Bo, you were able to fight through the exhaustion, and you are not fatigued. Cinder and Star, you are beginning to feel exhausted. Both of you add fatigued to your condition. And Frost, these cliffs are getting the better of you. You are fatigued, and due to your overt exhaustion, you are also enfeebled 1.
All right.
I think at this point, feeling the burn in her arms from this descent. She'll just gonna say between labored breaths, just, does anybody see the bloody bottom yet?
Six stars, and I don't see a whole lot.
No, Starlet's up there.
What?
Can I roll a perception to see if I can see the bottom?
Sure. In fact, at this point, as you are continuing your descent, everybody give me a perception check.
Lovely.
Oh my god.
Just what I wanted.
Is that a natural one?
No, I haven't rolled. Damn. Just the fact that we're getting a perception checks.
I got a 33.
Okay.
31.
Okay.
Plus a 20.
24.
18. Okay. You guys are not doing great.
This cliff's hard.
Those of you who succeeded, who rolled over a 24, or 24 or higher, I guess. The space below you is a spanning forest, only partially populated with trees, but you can see it beneath you. You are a few hundred feet up. Stalagmites stand tall, densely populated amongst dead and dying trees that seem to rot from the inside out. And to the north, you hear the sound of rushing water from the waterfall. But as you go down further and further, Star, you got a 33?
Yes.
Great.
Your internet cuts out.
Your internet cuts out.
Fuck.
You hear the sound of flapping, like that of a bird. And looking up, you see a cluster of these manta ray-looking cloakers sailing across the subterranean ceiling. They have not noticed you yet. How do you all wish to avoid their notice?
Do we all see this?
No, but I assume Star will feel.
I'm not telling anybody shit. Fuck
okay,
you guys.
Well, yes.
Star just stops moving.
Yeah.
You guys go ahead. Keep.
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead. Star does like quietly try to whisper to everyone in all directions, you know. Eyes up, everyone. We have company.
Yeah, I think Cinder's just gonna try to tuck herself into the cliffside and stop moving and try to remain still.
Okay. Everybody roll me a stealth or a suitable skill you'd like to replace that with.
Is it feasible that I could, like, pull loose a rock and, like, chuck it really hard to try to draw their attention someplace else and use, like, deception?
Sure. I like that.
Can we follow the leader on somebody's stealth?
Follow the expert.
Like, traveling? Yeah.
Yeah,
you can definitely follow
unless you'd also allow athletics for chucking something hard.
Yeah, I'll take athletics.
Okay.
That's fine. So you are a master, Star?
Yes.
So, yeah, plus 13.
Okay.
I'm going to use a reroll.
Okay. Bo, what'd you get?
I was just thinking about using my religion skill and praying that we're not getting spotted or something.
Please, God.
If you're listening, I know we haven't talked in a while.
Just drop to your knees out in the open. Please don't let him see this.
I swear I'll believe in you if you do this one thing. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll never drink again.
So we can follow the expert?
Yes, for a plus 13 in stealth.
Okay.
That replaces your own modifier, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
16.
13 with a 13.
That's not
18.
Good.
16, 18. Cinder,
24.
What'd you get? 24. Okay.
32.
Okay.
Well, at least it wasn't a nat 1, but I got a 21 on my athletics.
Unfortunately, as Kiaran, you pull this rock out of the cliffside, you unintentionally make quite a bit of noise as stones fall by where you remove it, smaller little pebbles. And as the cloakers peer over, they see enough of your party and begin to descend. And we are going to have a very precarious balancing cliffside fight 100 feet above the ground next week on the Reroll Gaming Podcast.
Oh shit. This is going to go well. It was going really well before, but I imagine
maybe next week will be better at our rolls. That's
you
our
guys hope. Did not do well.
Rest up on your rolling, maybe practice.
Ice your rolling hand.
Polish your dice.
Take a cold shower after a day's session. It helps retract the lactic acid out of your muscles and to recovery faster.
Yeah, suck, you but, heard him. Suck the lactose out of your muscles.
That's right. Exactly what I said.
Butter your asshole.
Oh shit, this is gonna be a throwback. Fuck.
Thank you for listening to the Reroll Podcast. The world of Rell and all characters within are copyright and fictitious. Any similarities to persons, living or dead, or actual events are purely coincidental. Reroll Gaming uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. Used under Paizo's community use policy, we are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Reroll Gaming is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. Want to follow us on social media? Listen to another episode or send us hate mail? Check out our link tree for all our info. You can find that link in the episode description. Big thanks to Tabletop Audio for producing quality RPG music and ambiance that we can use in our games. The Reroll main theme and all character themes are copyright Zane Gehring. The Chronicles of Rell theme and frequency theme are copyright Tanner Prentice. Please consider donating to our Patreon or Ko-fi if you liked our content. We are hell-bent on making more, and with your support, we can make a lot more. And leave us a review wherever you heard this episode. New episodes every Monday at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. See you then.